This is AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. I'm here today with both return guests, Larry Allen of Allen Federal and Joanne Wojtek of the infamous Soup Contract. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Joanne, for the three people out there who may not have heard of Soup, tell people what Soup is and why the fifth iteration may be a little bit different than previous.
So the NASA Soup Contracts, I'm a 39-year veteran of NASA, just had my 39th anniversary, a suite of government-wide acquisition contracts that provide IT product solutions, both products and services, to the entire U.S. government. We are the one contract that every agency is using, and that covers the entire range of solutions, not just focused just on products, not just on services, but actually the full suite, particularly with Soup 5, which is one of the big changes in Soup 5 to add more services. Two big news with Soup 5 is probably the number of companies involved grew significantly because of the size Soup had grown to. We needed to have more companies, and also the outreach that we do now to the agency level folks, not just helping do a procurement, but helping an agency do their acquisition as a whole.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you're competing a little bit with FedSim and the one portion of NITAC that's not contract related.
So actually, no, quite the opposite. We are teaming with FedSim. Actually a new news. Although we have always, GSA has always used us, and we have certainly worked with DISA, who is a similar sort of situation of acquisition services to DOD. Well, FedSim and Soup are actually going to start working together also more closely to ensure that if a customer comes to Soup and says, I have money, but I don't know how to spend it, we don't help people with the actual funding and the signing of contracts. We need somebody like a FedSim or DISA to do that. So we're trying to make sure that we are more in line with them. So if we can send our customers to those places to have their procurement done and then use Soup to get the actual order done.
Cool. Very cool. So you have how many contractors on Soup now?
We currently have 145 companies.
Okay. And you said something a moment ago that that maybe some others, PMs, could learn from. How many of these have you visited thus far since the award of Soup 5?
So I made a decision about a year ago to go visit everybody, and then I learned that half of them are not in the D.C. area. So I spent last year going around and visiting that half that was not, and I'm left with about 58 still to go out of 145 after 1 year. But we'll really focus on the local ones now, and I really feel it's important. Soup never speaks just about industry government relations in the abstract, but in reality, we want to have a good relationship with our industry partners, and we look at it that way. And the only way to do that is to know them. So going out and getting to know them and getting to know Soup and myself as a program manager personally actually helps that communication path.
Didn't you do something similar on 4? Didn't you visit everybody during the term of the vehicle?
Well, in Soup 4, I certainly visited everybody, but we also had a lot more meetings. It was a lot easier with 37 companies to kind of bring them all together. And
right.
We would have meetings several times a year. And so there were a number of ways to do it. 145, it takes a little bit more thought and process to get to.
Okay. But on 4, correct me if I'm wrong, you only had like one chronic underperformer.
We only had one company that totally went out of business.
Okay.
So we lost them. And we had another
company underperforming.
Well, and we had another company who decided not to continue doing federal business.
The blue box?
Yes.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been there anyway. So of those, everybody made money.
Or they at least did orders. And with Soup 5, within 6 months, all but two of our companies had received orders. So,
okay.
And in our meeting so far, we've already met with the two companies that have not. And one of them is one of our smallest companies, and one of them is one of our biggest companies. And they both are still active and hope to move forward.
Okay. Larry, how does Soup, the other GWACs, play into the new nuances of the market?
Well, Mark, IDIQ contracts, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts like SUP continue to be a vital part of the federal IT market. We're still looking at these contracts controlling at least 50% of federal spend. So if you're in the federal IT marketplace and you're not present either as a prime or a company that is reselling your products through one or more of these vehicles, you're giving up a substantial amount of your potential market, which is why I always recommend to people that they have at least two or three of these standing contracts that they can use as vehicles to reach federal customers. SUP, arguably one of the better contracts out there, not just saying that because Joanne happens to be in the studio with us today, but because that really is the reputation that the contract has. It was also recognized earlier this year by the Office of Management and Budget in some of their initial category management escapades. And I think that's an indication that it's a well-regarded program in both government and industry. And a lot of that is a credit to Joanne specifically and to her team as well, who have made it an easy-to-use, very workable program, and one that, in the product space anyway, is one that is a formidable competitor with GSA and others.
Yeah, and it seems to be hot in a variety of areas. So the types of products and accompanying services moving through SUP, I hear anecdotally include a lot of cloud, a lot of cyber. What are the biggies?
Well, certainly the biggies are actually still the basics. So our biggest
computers.
computers and networking and the services, the warranty and maintenance of them. And so those continue to go. But yeah, there continues to be a lot of interest in the cloud, and we do have AWS and Microsoft Cloud and all the other clouds out there on our contract. So different agencies are finding ways to utilize us, and we're working with them as best we can. But yeah, to me, the cloud is still something not fully defined. I guess the cloud isn't, but the answers are out there on SUP. And I think cyber and some of the tools required certainly are being utilized. And also very importantly, just to say with the products, again, the services are much more important in SUP 5 so that the customer can come and get that. And we're starting to finally get some customers understanding they don't have to just get the products, they can get the services also. And in fact, they don't have to get products to get the services, they can't be disconnected.
Okay. Larry, the hot IT areas moving forward are going to be...
Well, certainly, Mark, cyber continues to be the first, second, and third popular federal IT priority. But inside cyber, I'm increasingly looking at subdivisions because that's now a big catch-all word. So you're looking at things like prevention, network detection and prevention to try to keep intruders out of your networks. Detecting them once they get into their networks. You're also looking at things like data analytics, which used to be called big data. Now we're actually just not acknowledging we have data. We're doing something with it. And a lot of that's taking on a cyber procurement type or cyber project type of utility. So you've got a couple of different parts inside of there. It's interesting, Joanne mentioned cloud and said, you know, she doesn't really fully get what's going on, what's called a cloud, and I think that's a fairly common comment throughout government. Cloud is something that we talk a lot about, but up until FY16, Mark, you couldn't really see that there had been a lot of business to talk about, just a lot of anticipation. Whether or not FY16 proves to be the bellwether year, that where cloud in the federal space turned the corner, I think remains to be seen, and we're certainly going to be hampered by that in FY17 with most of the government operating under a continuing resolution for what looks like 7 months out of the fiscal year. So it'll be hard to tell, but the standbys are still where a lot of business is being done. The things that maybe don't make headlines, maintain existing, Joanne referenced, maintenance, software upgrades, repair, things of that nature. That's still where the lion's share of federal IT spend goes.
Okay. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com. You can find Larry at allenfederal.com, and you can find Soup by just typing in S-E-W-P into Google, and it'll take you right there. I've always found that easier than trying to remember the NASA.soup. But so just Google Soup, S-E-W-P, and you'll get there. We shall return after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I've said this before, if you could hear the outtakes, it'd be a much more amusing show. But as long as you're educated at the end, we're fine. I'm here with Joanne Wojtak, Program Manager of Soup, and Larry Allen, Principal of Allen Federal. And I want to know about the main focus for Soup in 2017. You've got a, you know, still a relatively new vehicle here.
A new vehicle, I mean, always are changing, even, you know, even if it's an older vehicle, as it's been around 20-some years, and there's always something new we're working on. And there's a couple of key areas I'm focusing on our program this year. One, in the outtakes, we would have mentioned, is quality assurance. We're very big on providing information. In Soup 5, we went further and now providing data to our customers. And as we provide data, you start looking at it and saying, is it good or not good? And the data we get from industry or from the customers. So how to massage that to make it as relevant as possible. So putting a lot of focus on that so that not only are we giving data, but we're giving actually good and relevant data. And that's actually setting up a whole new team to handle that. In terms of industry, so we mentioned the fact that in the previous section that I had gone out and met with all the contract holders, or am going to meet with them all. My next focus will be to kind of go out and meet with industry. How can I get industry beyond the contract holders better understanding Soup? Whether it be manufacturers or distributors or other companies that work with our contract holders. So we're going to try to find ways to do that throughout this year and get me out there to help understand that piece. I would say we're also looking at how to improve our customer interface and questions and answers to industry, improve the dialogue that occurs during the RFQ process. We have some cool features already in place, but we're trying to get it even better to make it really easy for the customer. The industry to ask questions, and the customer to say, here's the answer without having to go through some major iterations to do that.
Okay. I'm going to juggle the sequence here because what you just said ties into one of the questions I was going to ask a little later on. And Larry, please jump in here. You work with a lot of companies, as I do, on, you know, which vehicles to choose. I don't help people get on the vehicles, but I tell them which ones would be best suited for them. A contract like Soup, number one, the oldest GWAC out there. It's been around since 92.
92, yes.
Yeah. Fifth iteration. I'd like to say everybody knows it, but unfortunately, that's not accurate. And, you know, most people in industry at least know what it is, even if they can't pronounce it. SWIP?
Yes.
Got to get on that SWIP contract. But Larry, when you're talking to a company and it's obviously a missing piece of the puzzle that they need a product vehicle, how do you tell them to approach Soup?
Well, Mark, what I find generally is that most companies are better off trying to have their product sold through a prime contractor on a vehicle like Soup for a couple of reasons. One, Soup doesn't have open seasons, at least not to my knowledge, Joanne. So right now, if you're not a prime on Soup 5, you don't get a chance to be until, you know, if they ever opened it up for new offers, or Soup 6 down the road, which I'm sure just gives Joanne heart palpitations to think about. So you have to pair yourself up with a prime that's already on contract. And point of fact, Mark, most companies are better suited to that type of relationship anyway than to take on all the responsibilities of being a prime contractor. So what I tell them is Soup is a great vehicle for lots of product-based stuff. If you're a service provider, if you're doing professional services in the IT world, you might want to look at some other vehicles, and I think that's very intentional on the part of Joanne and her management team. But the other thing, the number one thing that I tell companies that gets their attention is you have these five competitors that are all currently either Soup primes or who are actively having their solutions sold through this contract. You've got customers who are looking at Soup. They're not finding you there. So you're conspicuous by your absence, and you need to be seen where your competitors are. Now, no one company can be everywhere at once. And if we were talking about some small Air Force, in that sense, contract somewhere, I might not have the same answer. But for a quality contract that has been recognized as in the product field as one of the top three, along with NIH and the GSA schedule, it really is an essential part of your go-to-market strategy.
Well, Max Peterson, when he was way back at the CDW days, said he had the trifecta, so people could buy right. anything from CDW. They had GSA, they had SUP, and they had what was then ECS3, now CIOCS.
And those three contracts, particularly in the product world, are still the big three through which a substantial amount of business is driven every year. And again, what I said at the top of the show, if you're in that marketplace and you're not on at least one of those three vehicles, you're at a substantial competitive disadvantage.
No, preferably two, because not all agencies right. access either SUP or the NITAC vehicles.
Joanne? Well, that's not true. They all access SUP. SUP is actually accessed by every agency.
That is true. Yes. But how much business of that SUP does goes through five or six agencies? So a fair amount.
A fair amount goes through DoD, but they also have the most money in terms of... In terms of penetration, we do have the second most penetration compared to... GSA is only the only one that has more than we do.
Yeah, but that's default mode and everybody knows that. Did I say that out loud?
And I would also reiterate that while people still think of us as a product, we are not a product contract anymore. We are a product and services contract. And
correct.
So we do want to have service providers on our contracts now. We want to push that as long as the services have a product basis to them of some sort.
Right.
So it's not total professional services, not just general consulting.
Well, I want to ask another question in a second. But for 2016, how much money was driven through SUP?
Altogether, about $4 billion. That's a B.
Okay, so that's going to belie what I saw in a BGov report, and I thought it was a little suspect. They said that there was $10 billion through GWACS in 2016. I'm going, no, because NITAC did five with the three combined vehicles. SUP probably did almost that much. And that means the Lion only made $1 billion.
So. Right, and those numbers don't add up.
No. So. Curious thing. But that's not what I wanted to ask you, although the money does intrigue me. What I want to ask you is, what do you, when an OEM comes to you, when you visit an OEM and you're telling them about SUP, how do you tell them to access a vehicle? Do you recommend specific SUP contractors, which I don't think you do? But.
So, and to reiterate what Larry said, yeah, absolutely the best thing to do for any company that has products or services that they want to get to federal agencies, they should be talking to the SUP contract holders, one or more of them, preferably a few more than one. It's better to be on more than one contract and get those services out there. You're not going to get your own contract with SUP. It's going to be another 8 years before we do SUP 6. So this is the way to do it.
No on-ramp at all. So
the only way to on-ramp would be to have a two-year competition, and I don't want to spend 2 years competing to do an on-ramp.
or to buy your way in.
Well, and some companies have been, and we have several innovations already ongoing, and we'll continue to do throughout with 145 companies.
Got CDW.
Yes. But we have, with those 145 companies, again, that's not going to change. That number is pretty well set. It might decrease if companies drop out, but... What does change is the number of companies, manufacturers, service providers, and other partners that work with us, 145. We add about five companies a week to that list. So we're currently at about 5,000 companies who are working with those 145 primes. And it takes us about an hour or so between the time a prime comes to us and says, can we add this company, to adding them to our list of providers, as we call them.
So 5,000 service providers and manufacturers, et cetera, right. represented through your 147.
Yes. And to your question about what do I recommend an OEM to do, on our website, there's a tool called the Provider Lookup Tool. They can look up who those 5,000 are. So if there's a company that they work with or compete against. That might show them which contracts they want to be on. They might want to be on a different contract if it's somebody they compete with, or they might want to be on the same contract if it's somebody they team with. That tool is on the Soup website, and they can look under the tools, and it says provide a lookup. And they can look up a company or show them all the contracts that have that company's products.
I haven't played with that yet. I'm going to go back to the Soup site later today. Neat stuff. Mm-hmm. You can also just download a list of all of the contractors, and there's sufficient contact information there so you can find key people. So.
Yes, and we actually just improved that interface, so it's even easier to get to the different companies. On our main website, there's a contract holders menu, and from there you can look up any company and get the full information.
First thing I did when the final list was announced was scroll through that and made sure I had contacts at every company on LinkedIn as first degree. So great stuff. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with Larry and Joanne right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with Joanne Wojtek and Larry Allen. Joanne's the PM at Soup, and Larry is the principal.
What am I?
you're the chief guy at Allen Federal. Finish the your thoughts from the last segment, Joanne.
So we were talking about industry and how they can get involved with Soup. There's going to be a chance to talk about some events that are coming up, including ones that can involve industry. So in January, we're going to have what we're calling the Soup Showcase here in D.C. at the D.C. Convention Center on January 10th, 11th, and 12th. We've always had three different events in the D.C. area kind of separately done and never coordinated, and we decided this year to try a coordinated effort. Not really a conference as such, but a chance to bring first our customers together at a customer training on the January 10th. It is a public event, but it's primarily geared towards the federal government customer. So anybody can come there for free training. Then there will be on January 11th for the industry folks. We call it the industry day. It's actually an industry half day where anybody who just wants to know about Soup, wants to know about how they might partner with companies, what the benefits are. We'll be doing discussions with them on that. So we invite you all to check that out if you're in industry. And then on January 12th, this is a closed event, will be our program managers, 145 program managers meeting. What's good about having that the same week is many of those managers will be at the industry day and even at some at the customer training to help meet with customers. So we're trying to make it a more inclusive time. But on our website is a link now to this Soup Showcase, and we invite you all to register and participate, particularly on if you're in industry, on January 11th.
So that brings up a kind of a side point. You're still going to agencies where your contractors say, you know, they don't know much about Soup. You know, can you come help? So you or your staff go there and educate people?
We do a lot of training. A lot of it now is actually we do webinars twice a month, and those are open public webinars, but primarily, again, to federal government employees. Because of the broad outreach that we have, it's just difficult to get to them all. We do hope to do more customer training soon, and there will be an email actually going out to our customers shortly saying who wants to have training this year and see if we can get some training set up. We also are doing a lot more outreach I mentioned at the beginning that we're looking more at agency level participation. A lot of our efforts are more at the higher level of agencies to discuss with them how they can best utilize Soup.
Yeah, I had a question earlier today from a company that I'm starting to work with, and they're going, "Oh, you know, this agency hasn't even heard about this GWAC we're on." I'm going, "Well, did you call the PM?" They're going, "I can do that," and go, "Yeah, that's why they're there. You know, yes. Todd's going to take the call, or somebody will. Casey will take the call. Bridget will take the call. And I know Joanne will take the call. So, you know, pick up the phone, drop an email. They'll help you. It's their contract." Larry, speaking about contracts and technology and stuff, the CIOs, one would have thought it might be a burden, but Vitara is kind of a godsend. Most of the CIOs I've talked to like the guidelines, but how can CIOs leverage, particularly GWACs, to help them get the right grade for
Well, right, for and this is a timely discussion right now, Mark, as just recently the most relevant up-to-date FITARA report card was just came out from Congress, and it showed that agencies were making progress in many areas. One area where they weren't, we can talk about that later if you want, but in many areas. But in terms of GWAC use, these are tools that experienced CIOs can use, or even inexperienced CIOs can use to meet their needs in a very compressed manner. They provide excellent competition. They provide a really good breadth and depth of choice for a company, for a federal buyer to use. They can even provide socioeconomic benefits. Their SOUP has many companies on it that have socioeconomic designations. So as an example, if you wanted to do your hub zone or service-disabled, veteran-owned, small business contracting, as long as you were doing that with a affirmatively designated contractor on SOUP, you could do that and meet your goal and still do an acquisition in much, much less time than it takes to do a government procurement from scratch. That matters when you get to the end of the fiscal year, when CIOs and their buying counterparts have both tons of projects they're trying to get through the pipeline and a short time period in which to get them done. And that's why you see a significant amount of GWAC use in the last quarter of the fiscal year, particularly the last 6 weeks of the fiscal year, where agencies turn to these vehicles because they can get quality solutions from quality industry sources, meet their socioeconomic goals, and do it all on budget and by the end of the year.
Or by the end of the day in some instances if you choose the right contract.
That's true. The other piece that distinguishes SOUP in terms of CIO, and as I mentioned, we are trying to do more at that level. What are we trying to do there? Well, what we're doing is we're not just saying, here's a vehicle to help you get stuff, but here's a vehicle to help you control what you are buying. So we have certain tools that help them. First of all, we give them reports. So we have several agencies. I believe it's close to 10 agencies now that get the weekly reports from us on everything being bought by their agency through our contracts. So they don't have to go out and figure it out themselves or create new processes in their agency. They can get those reports directly from us, and it's no cost to them. They just say they want it, and we will provide any CXO level agency personnel with their agency reports. We also have what we call an agency catalog concept, which allows an agency to say, well, we have a very dynamic catalog. We change 20,000 items a day in our catalog. That's great. But if you want control, you don't want to have dynamic. You want to have static. You want to say, I want to know that you always have this type of product. So an agency can come in and say, I want to know what kind of printers, and I want these types of printers to be the ones that people buy from. And we'll take a snapshot, essentially, of that dynamic piece and say, here's a static piece of our catalog. And the third thing is something I didn't mention in the new features for next year or this coming year, is giving them the ability to designate either products and or companies as being assessed and cleared by their agency to be purchased from, and then they will be flagged in our system so that the CIO will know that we are feeding back to their customers when they're purchasing items that the CIO has designated as such.
Cool. So flexibility-wise, are the GWACs, and Larry, I want to aim this at you, are the GWACs providing CIOs a more agile approach, not only to acquiring this, but in allowing them to have the information necessary to migrate up that grade scale? You know, Cooper over at Commerce has been the leader in leveraging this, and I know he has favored vehicles.
Right. Well, certainly spend analysis, depending on how you slice it and dice it or whatever you call it, is an increasing part of how the government buys IT. We saw this start at least 8 to 10 years ago, Mark, and it's really matured. It's matured a lot really within the last 2 years, even as agencies get serious, sometimes of their own volition, sometimes not, about taking a look at what they spend, how they spend it, making sure that they're reducing redundancy. So a good GWAC is going to be able to help their customer provide that type of data so that they can understand, first of all, their own spending habits and how they how they're doing internally, but also how that compares against what other agencies who use that contract are doing to make sure that they're following best practices, that they're getting good values. And I want to emphasize values as opposed to just getting the lowest price. Because some of the programs that we've seen in terms of data analysis seem to be driven more towards price, price, price. And what we're really talking about here is value and getting a good solution so that the acquisition lifecycle doesn't have to be consistently repeated. So being able to put your story out there and the story of individual users through your contract is an increasingly important part of being a good GWAC. We saw OMB start with that again this past year with its category management program. And I would expect, even though category management outside of GSA, I think, is going to fade into the background, we can't equate that to saying that the desire for government to have a better handle on what it's spending will go away. That's going to continue.
Okay, I want to pick that up on the other side. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with Larry Allen and Joanne Wojtek. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. I'm here with Larry Allen, Allen Federal, Joanne Wojtek, Program Manager of SOUP, the literally the granddaddy of the GWACs. Larry, you were talking about category management at the end of the last segment. I wanted to touch on that briefly because I've seen several articles recently in the trade press saying that category management's basically on hold. Push the pause button.
Well, right. And I, for one, Mark, think that that's a pretty good approach. You know, you and I have talked before about the idea that category management is originally launched by OMB. I thought was a good concept because it was a series of thou shoulds, identification of best-in-class programs. SOUP, for example, is one of three for laptop computers. In fact, SOUP took the lead on the laptop computer portion of category management. And it started out as a program that really was trying to emphasize best-in-class acquisition vehicles, directing or encouraging agencies to use those. And then it evolved more into a mandate, or trying anyway to evolve into a mandate type of program. And the first thing that happens when you tell anybody in federal acquisition, you must do that, the immediate reaction is going to be, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to show you why my approach is better and smarter, at least for me. And I think that that's where we were headed, undeniably, with some of the with the last proposed rule that was put out by OMB on category management. It had a very strong pushback from industry, which led to the media reports that you used to introduce this segment. And look, we're at the end of an administration. We're about to transition to a new one that may have their own government management ideas. So I think it's appropriate to take a pause. If someone were to ask me about category management, and again, we're talking not about the internal GSA decision to set up Federal Acquisition Service this way. I'm talking rather about the OMB program. Somewhere to ask me, I would say, look, if we went back to where we were 9 or 10 months ago on category management, where we were doing exciting things in terms of best practices and good configurations for commonly used items, I thought that was great. And I think it could have had a lot of benefit. But when you start crossing over and proscribing behavior rather than encouraging it, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. Changing gears a little bit here. A year or so back, we had the news of the first almost billion-dollar task order. Last week, we had news of CACI over in Northern Virginia, doing a task order through OASIS with a potential of $1.77 billion. Joanne, do you think this is a trend and then migrate, if you will, into how agencies really leverage soup, not through billion-dollar orders, but how they do it?
Well, I think there's always an interest in how can I do this sort of thing. And I think that it comes down to, from what I can tell, this idea that if I can get this one IDIQ, everything is fine. And I recommend to our federal customers, they look at it differently and say, what is it they want to do? They want to get acquisition better. But they also still want to have competition. They still want to get good pricing. But they don't want to have to spend the time that might take. So there needs to be some trade-off between this huge single award to one company that dominates things. So there's not that freshness. There's not that continuous competition in some ways, or even if it's not formal, and that you might get with khaki and thing, which nothing is khaki, but just CACI.
Right.
But you also want to make sure that you aren't tied into something that may not be what you need down the road. So soup, you know, looks at when somebody would come to us and say, can I do $1.7 billion? We would say no. What you want to do is you want to look at how can soup help you get to spend that money in an efficient way and use techniques, whether it's our current quote tools or use the reporting information we provide or the agency catalog concept, or we have other concepts that they can use that are not going to tie them into a single source in a bad way. And there are times when single source might be the right way, but I think it's not always the only way. Sometimes a multi-award source is the right way, because then you continue to get that freshness. As long as you can have a process, and a GWAC like soup can give you that process that does not make it take 6 months to get an order, but can still be done in a couple days.
Okay. Thoughts, Larry?
Well, I think the main thing is that if you're going to put in a task order of that size, you've got to have good management throughout the life of that project. We focus so much on the acquisition side, in this case, the initial inception of a very large task order. And there is a tendency in government, particularly, to try to manage a multiple year outcome at the point in which the acquisition decision is made. And what we really have to do is marry that instance of the actual inception of the contract up with sound long-term management. And that's the piece of the pie that sometimes goes missing, particularly in government. So what I would encourage the agency who put the task order in place to do is to make sure you've got good management and oversight controls in, so that this task order performs for you over time the way you thought it would when you put it in place. There tends to be turnover on both the government and contractor side over a series of time. But if you've got a good handle on things at the start, then that bodes well for good long-term management. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with a large task order like this, but you have to make sure that if you're going to take this acquisition approach, that you've got your eyes focused on what they need to be focused on. And hint, it's not the actual inception that's done. It's the stuff that remains to take place.
Yeah, and I want to make sure it's clear. I'm not saying I'm not against if that's the right solution. I'm just saying that that's not always the right solution. And customers really need to look at, you know, what does it cost to run something like that? And what would be a better way to go about it and not just go, well, I heard this is the thing to do, so now we just do it. So I think discussions are the important part. Discuss if somebody has something they want to do in the space that's soup, we are happy to go out and talk with them and give them their options, everything from a sole source, if that's what's right, to a multi-award. But we want to make sure that we're discussing it with all the possible issues that, as Larry pointed out.
Cool. Final thoughts?
I just want to point out one other thing that's coming up, and it's a little bit far away, but just what we're talking about, new things coming. We are not doing a soup conference anymore, but we are teaming with NCMA, the National Contract Management Association. In July at the World Congress, we will be playing a bigger role there to promote the soup trainings and soup information and GWAC-related information. Perhaps we haven't quite finalized the agenda, but we'll have a piece of that. Just try to get to our procurement officials so they don't have to travel twice to go somewhere. Go to one place, get all their needs met there.
Cool. Larry, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that a year ago, Mark, we were talking about the fact that FY17 could be a real turnaround year in terms of federal acquisition and better management. Over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've seen that that's probably not going to be the case. As I referenced earlier in the show, we're going to have almost every federal agency operating under a continuing resolution, what we know now, for at least 7 months. That's going to really hamstring growth and certainly hamstring a good government management. So maybe we'll have to look at FY18.
Okay. I've been here today with Larry Allen, allenfederal.com, Joanne Wojtek of Soup, Google, S-E-W-P, and you can find her. Both, thank you very much. This is not my day job. I've been coaching individuals and companies on leveraging LinkedIn since 2009. There's been a lot of changes over the last couple of years, but there's huge changes coming in 2017. There will be a new user interface deployed probably early January that's going to confuse many. There's 1.6 million feds on LinkedIn. If you need help leveraging this platform, drop me a line at markamtower@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening to Amtower Off Center.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.